Struggling to move your nonprofit forward? You've come to the right place. Welcome to The Nonprofit Architect, where we are giving you the actionable steps you need to launch and grow your nonprofit organization. Now, here's your host, Travis Johnson.
Hey, this is Travis Johnson, the Nonprofit Architect, helping you build a stronger nonprofit. I'm here today with Preston Cohn. Yes, that's a real name. He runs a for-profit business called Cohn Creatives, and he's got a nonprofit side called The Donor Curve. Preston, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Travis. Excited to be able to talk to you today about what we do on the nonprofit side and how we're able to help nonprofits generate emails. And of course, the lifeline being donations and being able to hopefully rely on that for a monthly basis.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. We talked beforehand and you help nonprofits get Google ad grants, which are up to $10,000 a month, as I understand it, how to run Facebook ads, how to write good email copy, turn those leads into actual donations, how to take and create petitions to actually collect those emails to help grow your reach and your donor base. And then we are in a coronavirus COVID-19 world, and people are canceling fundraisers because they can't be around too many people. So we're going to teach you, walk you through the steps of how to turn your was going to be in-person fundraiser into a digital fundraiser, how to lower your personal financial impact of this and just explode with donations.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, you know, one of the things we've been able to start off with, like you said, Travis, is working on the Google ad grant for people. And it's kind of funny how I got to this point. I'll give you a little background. I previous had worked at Facebook, had done work where we're just working with regular size companies, mid to large companies, Oriental Trading, Logan's Roadhouse, types of like that, where we're just trying to help spend money efficiently on Facebook so that they're getting the best results possible. After that, did some work for some political, raising over $100 million, and really enjoyed that. Worked for the inauguration as the digital director. And then shortly thereafter, my wife and I decided to start our own business called Cohn Creatives. And this was where, you know, we started off, we didn't know exactly what we were going to be doing. I had a lot of experience in Facebook and a lot of experience with Google PPC ads and running search ads. But mostly, we started off doing everything. Website design, SEO, I mean, kind of what every business really does. You start off kind of doing a lot of things and hopefully you hone into the things that you're best at. And kind of reminded us that we're really best at Facebook ads. And so on the Cohn Creative side, which is where we work for regular businesses, that is mostly on the paid social side of things with Facebook and YouTube ads. I had a friend contact me about a year into our business, and he said, "Hey, Preston, with your experience with fundraising for political, do you think that would cross over into the nonprofit space?" And honestly, I wasn't sure how that could look. I didn't know exactly if we had a lot of success on Facebook or if we should use Google. And so I started just doing some research, and he had a big donor who wanted to support a specific cause by a certain deadline. And so they gave us, I think it was about $40,000 to spend on Facebook ads, which some people might say, "Hey, well, that's a lot of money." And it is a lot of money. And in those 32 days that we started that campaign out for him on Facebook, we actually made him $70,000. And we generated over 95,000 emails. So this means that they went from about a 3,000 email list to 95,000 email list, and they generated more money than they spent with me or paid with me on those Facebook ads. So for me, a light bulb went off and it was like, okay, this will work for nonprofits. Let me see if I can find out more information about it. And that's where I found out, hey, there's a lot of other things. People want to give you free money if you're a nonprofit, which is something that I'm not used to on the paid side. And they want to do things like the Google ad grant. And so that's where we've had the most success, Google ad grant and Facebook ads.
Did I hear you right? Did I hear you say that you were able to raise $100 million?
Correct. Yeah. So the team that I worked on for the political campaigns that I worked on were able to raise over $100 million. It was actually over $150 million. We created all the merchandise, the landing pages, the advertisements, pretty much everything that was digital, Facebook ads, banner ads, YouTube buyouts, Snapchat ads, everything that you saw, Twitter, even emails and everything else. So our team was directly responsible for creating that fundraising. Correct.
I think nonprofits that are listening to this right now, and my target audience is IDEA through about 5 years of operation. You say throw around numbers like $100 million. They would have no idea what to do with that much money. They would have no idea, you know, unless they work with me and we get a plan together and figure out how exactly we would employ that money. But that is just nuts that through Facebook, you were able to generate that much in funds.
Yeah, Travis, I mean, it is, you know, I think it's an unprecedented, actually small dollar campaign that we were able to do through social media. And it was amazing to be a part of. And I'm so grateful to be able to have learned a lot of the skills and a lot of the things on the fly. I mean, we were a very small team, and we really created and tested all of the things that we possibly could all the time. And we learned a lot about it. So it was a great opportunity to test, you know, Facebook ads, to test different audiences, to test, you know, emails and that type of thing. So, and what was going to be the most effective in terms of not only that, but in that case, turning out people to do something, which was in that case, vote. For nonprofits, a lot of times that's giving us their email address, right? I said that donors are the lifeblood of nonprofits, but in reality, I think it's getting an email address is the first step to that. So many people forget about getting email addresses to be able to generate those donors long term. You don't get a donor nowadays to commit to give you money right off the bat. Usually they have to say yes to something else first. And by saying yes to something else, generally with that, it's a psychology, right? If they say yes to, hey, I believe and support this cause, let me sign a petition, or for example, or let me give you my email address because I'm interested in that cause so I can stay informed. The next request is, hey, for less than a dollar, would you mind, or for less than the cost for a Coke, would you mind giving us $1 or $2 and, you know, helping our mission continue to achieve success, right? And we'll talk about the petition. We can jump into that now or a little bit later, but how that structure works for people, it's a relatively simple process. But when they say yes that first time, it's kind of like using that right lure, right? I mean, if you throw out a lure into the ocean, if you got the wrong lure, you're going to just get whatever, right? You want to target the specific fish you're going after. And those are people interested in your cause. And that's what we do with the advertisements, the Facebook ads, the petitions and things that we run, as well as the Google ad grants, which is really cool because that's when the fish is actually seeking you out. It's a little bit different story.
So I think we should kick it off with the Google ad grant. I don't know if people are aware that this is a thing specifically for nonprofits, and you get up to $10,000 a month to spend on ads. So how would someone apply for the Google ad grant? What kind of things would they have to do?
Yeah.
And then how best could they employ, once they say, yes, you've got it, how can they best use that $10,000 a month?
Great question. So, you know, it's not really a super difficult process to apply and get that ad grant if you are eligible and if you can meet the requirements that Google has for you. The difficult process, and it's confusing for people who aren't used to the way ad accounts and the way Facebook ads and Google ads are run. It's very easy for them to get distracted and confused by an ad account number and other things. So let me kind of break it down for you here. It's probably going to be still difficult to follow along just because you got to actually do this step by step. But my guess would be
you're going to have a PDF, right? That helps them walk them through this.
100%. So we have a PDF. We also have some videos that we can kind of link to as well that might be helpful in terms of you can see what's happening while I do it. But in this case, let me just tell you kind of what it is, first of all. Mm-hmm. The Google Ad Grant is available to anyone. And how it's connected is if you are a 501c3 organization, you can apply for Google for Nonprofits. And it's an account that gives you a lot of different things. Not only does it give you access to applying for the ad grant, but it gives you free email addresses and domains for being able to create and run your own email campaign. So if you're bringing in new people to work for your organization, rather than go pay $5-$10 a month for an email address with your domain, they're going to give that to you for free. They're going to give you 30 gigabytes of storage for free, which again, these are small things, but at the same time, if you're a nonprofit getting started out, what a great value to be able to start off with these tools. You're going to get shared calendars. You're going to get a YouTube account that's specific for nonprofits. And that's all just for applying for the Google for Nonprofits. And to date, I haven't had anybody not get approved if you're an actual 501c3 to get the Google for Nonprofits account. Now, once you create that Google for Nonprofits account, this is where it gets a little bit more tricky for most people. They think, oh, I've got the Google for Nonprofits account. I'm approved for the Google Ad Grant. It's not the case. The Google Ad Grant is essentially $10,000, like you said, in free money per month to spend on search ads. They don't write you a check and they don't say, hey, use it for whatever you want to use it for. They say, we have extra bandwidth on our search ad network, and we would love for you to be able to use that. Here's $10,000 credit per month to be able to use. What that is if you've ever searched on Google and you've ever typed in buy whatever or looking for some kind of a result on Google and it pops up, those first few ads generally at the top are keyed into the keywords that you typed into that Google search bar. So it's the same thing with nonprofits, right? If somebody's searching for how to give away their clothes, for example, to a nonprofit that takes clothes and gives them to the homeless, you want to be the top result. You want to be a result that pops up very quickly towards the top so that when someone sees that, they click on you, they say, hey, here's my clothes, right? Take that. Or another example would be donations, right? So we work with some folks that are in Haiti. They have building homes. They do medical relief. They do education. They do a lot of different topics. And we create ads and keywords based on those specific things people are searching for so that when they do search for them, they're the organization that they want to use and donate to and support versus somebody else, right? So it's a way to be able to get a better result and get more bang for your buck in terms of that. And I always say, why would you not apply for the ad grant? I mean, if Google's applying, giving this to you, and it's free money, you might as well do it.
Yeah, if that was a brand new business or a brand new nonprofit and someone offered me $120,000 free dollars per year to advertise, you better believe I'd be all over that.
Yeah, exactly. And that it converts basically, Travis, to about 5,000 people per month who will see and be more aware and potentially click on that ad to see your website. So whether you get someone to donate through it, even if it's a small percentage of them that actually donate or give you their email address, you're now becoming more aware. People now know of you versus other organizations. There's just so many more benefits that you're getting out of this for free. So there's no reason not to. But in terms of how to apply, you got to be eligible, right? So you got to be a 501c3 organization. You then have to follow up with Google and provide them with some information. Typically, they use a company called TechSoup, which will actually go. Many of you might be aware of that for other reasons, but they'll verify your organization. If you already have an account, Google will be able to take that information from you very quickly, and it speeds up the process. If you don't have a TechSoup account, in my experience, it works more efficiently and in a simpler way if you actually just use Google to get you approved through TechSoup. They could say it takes a delayed time frame, but in reality, it doesn't. It's actually a pretty quick time frame. So once you get that verification process, it can take 3 to 6 weeks to do that. You'll be able to get approved for the Google Ad Grant. Now, there's a couple different steps along the way that you're going to need. The biggest thing that I'm seeing people run into is their site isn't secure. And that can be an issue for some of the smaller nonprofits who just don't understand why that's even valuable. What's an SSL and what's HTTPS, right? These are actually pretty valuable. And really the reason Google wants to see this is they don't want someone going to your website to donate where that information could be stolen or hacked by someone else. So that SSL and that HTTPS is just the ability for them to ensure that you're actually secure. And if you have a good web developer on staff or you've hired, it should not be very difficult for them to get you the SSL certificate and get that installed on your hosting. It's not rocket science. If you don't, it can be a difficult process just in terms of how you're going through that. I remember working with a couple of nonprofits going, what is SSL? And then next thing you know, they don't have access to their hosting platform. And because somebody volunteered and it's just
convenient. Yeah, someone donated the site and there wasn't a follow on agreement or what it might look like after that. And then somehow along the way, the nonprofit is then scared or fearful to then go reach out to that person. Someone that donated a specific money for more money for follow up for. There's companies out there for $200 a month will build it for you and maintain it for you. Do whatever you want for $200 a month.
Yes. And even just if it's a volunteer, sometimes the problem is they, out of the goodness of their heart, they want to do this for you. But a year goes by and they're in a different situation. They're in a different job. They're in a different, maybe a different location. It's hard to get them to respond. And we have waited weeks and weeks and weeks for someone just to give us a login information. And it's not because they don't care. It's just because they've gotten busy with other things. So really being able to do that internally, like you're mentioning, is a good point. Another thing that I'm seeing a huge error, people go, okay, I've created my ad account. I've submitted my pre-qualification to Google, but it's not letting me run ads. Why? Well, you got to wait for all of the approval process to go through. They will let you know. You will have to create ad campaigns. You will have to do this. They may very well notify you and say, hey, put your credit card information in to get started, because it's a normal account. Until they approve it, it's a normal account. And when you do that, you're completely voiding everything that you've done for the registration process. It happens all the time. People go, oh, I think I did it right. Everything's good. But I guess they won't maybe put my credit card in just so they can verify who I am. No. If you do that, they will start charging you money. And if you spend $10,000 a month, you will be on the hook for that bill. Make sure that you do not enter any credit card information, completely avoiding that. There are a couple things, other things that you have to do when you're applying. You do have to submit a pre-qualification survey. You got to go through about 10 minutes of training so that they know that you're qualified to do this. You have to create your ad account. And by creating your ad account, you actually will take that ad account ID and you'll use that multiple times throughout the rest of the application process. So it's important that you put that in a safe spot, especially with people who are not used to going to these places. Save the URLs is another key tip that I've learned. Don't just assume you're going to know where to go later on. Save that URL, put it into a document, put the AdWords account into another document or the same document so that you can follow along and do that. And I know this is a lot of information, but once you get to that point, this is kind of the biggest hurdle that most people have. They bill all this out. It's relatively simple. You follow the processes for Google. You fill out this stuff. It takes you a few hours over 3 to 6 weeks, which is just in and of itself difficult because it's such a time-consuming / disjointed type of application process.
Well, they're not just going to give $10,000 a month to anyone. If you're lazy, if you're not following the process, why would they waste their time and their free bandwidth and their free ad space to someone that's not going to put in the work?
Correct. Yeah. And they do. It's there's some hurdles. I mean, they really make you follow up with the right documentation. You've got to, follow up and take these courses. You got to do a quiz. You got to prove that you know what you're doing. Cause again, yeah, you're right. They don't want you to do something that you shouldn't be doing. And they also have to be able to verify the types of ads you're going to run are good and acceptable by Google. When I first created Google campaigns, I don't know, like 8 years ago, I didn't know I thought you could put any kind of words and any kind of keywords and symbols and things in it. No, immediately get disapproved. You get your account flagged, you get shut down. And so Google doesn't want that to happen to you. They do have certain requirements that you have to meet, click-through rate, another thing. I don't want to get into the weeds on some of those that are kind of difficult for people to understand. But the important thing is when you get to this step and you're creating your first campaign, it's important that you do this in the right way. When you're looking for things to do and you don't know generally how to create this campaign, start off with keywords that make sense to your organization, right? It's actually a good tip is to go to your website and look at the tabs that you have on your site. And generally, you can go and build out a campaign and an ad and keywords based on those pages. So if, like for the example I gave earlier with the Haiti organization, go to their website, you can see, hey, here's build a home, right? And on that page, there's a bunch of keywords, how to build a home, homes in Haiti, how much it costs, all these different keywords that you can use to kind of build out that campaign for you. You don't have to think from scratch. You should be starting with the website. In fact, Google will look at those things that are on your website and on those landing pages to determine, does it match with the ads and the keywords that they're running over here? They want to ensure that the content that someone gets when they click on an ad and they go to that landing page is the same. They don't want people to be misled by that advertisement where they're going to a page that doesn't make sense. So, you know, for an example of that, the Haiti organization, we have one ad here that I can show you and include in that document, but it says, build a family in Haiti a home. Less than 8% have electricity. Now you're talking about the need very quickly. You're talking about what you want them to do, which is help build a home. And that's just in that headline. So very quickly, they know what's going on. In the ad itself, it says all donations go to the people of Haiti for housing, electricity, clean water, safety. Our goal is to provide peace, the love of God, and a helping hand to those in need. You know, it gives you the information. It reassures you. It tells you what it's going to be used for. You know that the money's going to a good cause, and you can click through and feel pretty confident about that. And then the landing page that follows is very similar.
Yeah, so nonprofits out there, you can go get some of this stuff from your mission statement or your vision. You yes. know what you're wanting to do. You had to get those phrases qualified for your 501c3. You have to be creating programs or offer products that align with that mission, vision, and goals. And you already have them written on there. You can just copy and paste. You model what you're doing from your pre-written out and approved statements to put on those ads.
That's 100% right. I mean, there's no reason to start off too creative. Start with what you know. Start with what's there. You've already spent the time and the money on it. That's a much more efficient way. And Google, like I said, they're looking for that content anyways. So it validates what you're already doing. So in terms of the Google Ad Grant, I mean, that it's a lot of information. It is a little bit overwhelming for most people, but that is generally what you do, how you apply, and how you get started. If you're looking to take it to the next level, right? You've created those campaigns. I would encourage anyone who's going to do this and take it seriously to really don't forget the money, right? Don't forget that this is $120,000. If someone were to give you $120,000, a donor, for example, and they said, hey, here's the criteria, X, Y, and Z, I want to use for this program, that program, this program. I need a report every month or every week. I need you to tell me how effective it's being. You would do that, right? Mm-hmm. So it should be the same here. If you're going to run these campaigns, make sure that you do it with an effective way, right? Look at the results after the first month and see how things are going. Have you gotten anybody to click on your ads? Which ad did get a click? Which ads are not getting clicks? And learn from that. Spend some time on it. Spend a couple hours, you know, a week at least on seeing this. It's worthwhile. And if you can generate $1,000 a month from your $10,000 in ad spend, well, that's $1,000 a month that you didn't have before that is completely free to you just from a couple hours of your time. You know, put an intern on it who is young and who knows social media and can learn this quickly and have them do some Googling. It's not rocket science. Or, you know, learn to hire or potentially hire someone like me or, you know, use someone like Travis and his connections to be able to find someone who has the experience needed to be able to do this. That takes you to the next level. And that's where, you know, when I say stats like in, you know, 32 days, they made $70,000. That's because we know what we're doing. We've tested a lot of things, and I've spent literally millions of dollars to learn how to do this. You can do it yourself, and you can hopefully get some great results. And then at some point, hopefully that shows you that it's working, and you take it a little bit more seriously down the road.
So that's kind of the big step, the big jump into the things you're talking about. And for a lot of nonprofits, that's like staying at the bottom of a mountain, looking at the top and saying, how on earth am I going to get there? Don't worry, folks. We've got something much easier, much more succinct, much more better with a much lower barrier to get into, and that's Facebook ads.
Yes, yes. And Travis, also, you know, I know it is difficult and maybe difficult to follow along if you're following along on audio. And that's why we're going to have that document that we worked on together to make sure that people can follow this step by step and actually implement this very simply with the Google Ad Grant. It doesn't need to be seem like a mountain, right? Like, how do you eat an elephant? Like, one bite at a time, right? So take your time, don't get overwhelmed, and do one step at a time. We'll walk you through how that works. So on the Facebook side, this is where I kind of get a little bit more excited, because I do know that it works and I've seen it work very clearly, and it's relatively a simple process. So I was telling this to a client, a potential client actually recently, and he said, "Hey, how do you do this? I don't know how to demonetize what I'm doing. I got 70,000 followers on Facebook. I just don't know. I don't know what to do, right? I'm not fundraising. I'm not doing this." I said, "Let's think about your organization." And it's a nonprofit that helps police officers who have fallen in the line of duty, who have been in accidents, who have, helps the families when they've had to deal with deaths and other things. And so it's a great organization. Pretty much everyone would want to support or would be interested in supporting an organization like this. And so I said, what would be something that we could come up with together that would get a lot of mass appeal and interest into supporting your organization? And he said, "Well, you know, now that you mentioned that, I have been looking at some of these cases where people who have actually attacked and killed police officers are being let out at certain periods of times due to certain circumstances and things." He said, "You know, it'd be interesting to see if we could run a petition where people could sign and support so that we could maybe potentially change the way the laws even work, to say that if you do something like this, you should probably not be let out. You should probably be forced to live in some sort of jail or confinement of some type to be able to make sure that you're not doing that again, or potentially based on the circumstances, have some sort of follow-up," right? So he was able to create a petition, and just by posting it to his Facebook group, he generated over 400 email addresses within 24 hours. He then shared that to other Facebook pages and was able to generate more email addresses. And so without even spending a dime of his money in terms of running Facebook ads, which is what we focus on, he was able to generate email addresses for free, essentially just his time that he put into creating the video and creating the landing page for that petition.
So I know we've seen petitions. If you float around the online space, you run into petitions. How do you actually create a petition?
You know, a petition generally is something that we're trying to move forward with either the government locally, maybe the city, maybe the state level, or potentially it's, nationally, right? You can think of things like, in the health crisis that we're facing right now, potentially something to do with that, right? So being able to make sure that we have the right testing or the right appropriate measures in place. Getting people to buy into that petition, sign that petition, and go from there is kind of the key. So the way we do it is we will actually create a landing page that gives very brief information about that topic, right? You're supporting how to do X, Y, and Z. Here's what we're trying to do. And if we get your signature, if we get enough signatures, we're going to be able to submit this to the government at any local, state, or federal level and be able to get, hopefully, movement and change occur, right? In the example of the keeping cop killers essentially in prison or in confinement of some sort, that is something that a lot of people buy into, and a lot of people would be willing to push that in legislature. And so it enables you to actually change literally laws. And so we'll create a landing page, typically using Unbounce or other tools like that. Create a landing page. It'll be information about that. Usually a video at the top, typically some information below that about the topic and why it matters that they take an action step. And from there, it's a very simple form. It's, "Hey, sign this petition so that we can use your name and your email address to be able to submit this to take an action step." And it works very, very well. The way we reach out to them is by using Facebook ads. We target people interested in those specific topics, which there are literally thousands of different topics we can use on Facebook. They can see that ad, and if they're interested, it's kind of like what we talked about earlier, using that lure to reel them in and says, "Oh, I'm interested in that topic. That is interesting to me. My friend or my brother or my family member has had a situation that connects me to that or myself. And so I'm going to click on that ad, go to that landing page and sign that petition.
See, I've got a friend that does some of these things masterfully. One of the mind-blowing ideas that he walked me through, which he says it so casually when he says it, and you're like, are you serious right now? You're casually saying this. He'll have a two-answer poll, a yes or a no. And you have to have had an email. You give your email in order to answer this thing, right? But let's just say it's a political topic, something that's very divisive. You're going to pick a yes or you're going to pick a no, clear as day on this thing. Based on which email clicks which button, he can then write an ad to that person that would support the thing. And he can write an ad worded to someone that does not support the thing. And you're able to market to both sides of the same coin by, you know, deciphering who leans which way and who leans the other way. And it's just brilliant. I love it to death.
Yeah, people are using polls a lot now, and it does give you that information on both the positive and the negative. So you can kind of customize that message later on that would be very helpful for folks like that. You know, I tend to try to, if I'm working for an organization, make sure that it's targeting and focused positively on the positive side of things. But I do know that there's a lot of ways that you can leverage that in a positive way. Maybe the message is, hey, why don't you think we should do something different, right? Can you expound upon that? Maybe that's just helpful to learn a little bit about what's going on with people. But once they do see that landing page and they commit to that, like we talked about, that's a saying of a yes, right? A lot of people are going to visit that landing page. You're going to get tons and tons of people to visit the landing page. They're going to let it load and then they're going to leave. They don't care enough about that topic to spend the time and the energy to sign that petition, as simple and as energy less as that is asking them to do. It doesn't cost a lot of time or energy to do, but they can then use that as the first yes. Once they go and sign that petition, it's very simple to go to another landing page, redirects them and says, hey, thank you so much. If you wouldn't mind giving us $1 or $2 to donate to our cause, we can continue to go get more signatures for those petitions. And here's how this works really well. Right off the bat, if someone goes and signs that petition, let's say for easy math, it costs you 25 cents per email signature or petition signature. That's a Facebook ad, right? It's costing you that much to run an ad to find someone who's interested in your topic, who never heard about you before, who is now aware of you, signs a petition, and turn around. All you got to do is get one out of those four people to give you $1 to pay for those email signatures. So this is why it works very well and very efficiently. If you can get a very low buy-in and very low cost per result on terms of getting those email signatures, turn around and it's very easy for you to be able to get $1 or $2 to cover those signatures, the cost. So now the marketing that you think is very expensive is actually really for free. And that's the thing that I think most people are missing out on, is they go, oh, I don't want to spend, you know, $1,000 on Facebook ads a month, because if I do, that's $1,000 down the drain. What you're forgetting about is the very reason my business is called Donor Curve. You know, I mean, you acquire a donor right here. Over time of you emailing them and them seeing your information and then donating again and then buying a piece of merchandise like you do very well, Travis, is gives you the ability to then have a donor curve. Their lifetime value is worth more than the cost it was to acquire them. If it costs 25 cents, all they got to do is give you $1 over the next year or so, and you have more than made your money back very easily. So that's how that works. Once they go to that donate page and they see that thank you page, a lot of them are going to leave. Again, that's okay. You want to filter through those people who are not as interested or engaged with your audience. And it basically tells you, just like you know in your email list now, you got the big donors and the small donors. You know who those people are. You've deciphered those. Now you're helping to do that as well using digital mediums and automating that for yourself. People will donate. People will then go who don't donate, and then they'll leave. That's fine. But you still have their email address, and you'll still be able to email them and talk to them about this later. The ones who do donate are then redirected to a merchandise upsell page. That's the way I refer to it in the digital marketing world. What I would like to tell people about is, you know, it's people, if they're that committed and they've donated to you, they're very likely interested in wearing your merchandise and supporting the cause in that way. And, you know, it's basically saying, I care enough about this cause to give you a $25 donation or a $10 donation to buy that bumper sticker or that hat or that t-shirt. You got to do it. People want to do it. They want to support you. You just need to give them an opportunity to do that.
Yeah, you never want to rob someone of the opportunity to give you money. Nonprofits that are out there listening to this, if you don't accept PayPal and Stripe and credit cards and all the different ways people have desired to give you money, if someone shows up with a check and you say, I don't know what to do with the check, you better take the dang check, figure out how to process it. Because if they want to give you money, they want to support you, and you tell them no, what a terrible way to do business. They want to support you, not just by giving you money, but they want to show the world that they support you. They want to wear your gear. They want to wear your hat. They want to wear your wristband. They want to have a bumper sticker on their car showing not only are they a good person and they support you, but they get to say that I did this. Yeah. I'm a part of this cause. I'm a part of this vision. And they can't do that unless you give them something to wear, something to show off.
Yeah, 100%. And it's not about, you know, I think people confuse this and they go, well, we're a nonprofit. We're not trying to, you know, profit off of this. That's a kind of a confused way of looking at it. I think, like you said, very, very effectively, people want to support your mission. They care about your mission. Give them a way to do that. Nowadays, more than ever, with people behind their computer screens, not going out, not protesting, not, you know, getting, going to events, you know, speaking of coronavirus and other things, health issues, right? People aren't going out as much, but people want to be able to support you. So give them a way to do that. That's really what we're trying to do. We're not trying to con people. We're not trying to sell people something they don't want. We're trying to give them something that they want if they want it. And this is a way to do this on an automated scale. So the final thing that is about Facebook ads, it's just so important, and Google AdWords. If you're doing any of these things, if you're generating email addresses in any way, the biggest thing that I see nonprofits not doing well is they're afraid to reach out frequently. People who have given you their email address, it's kind of a sacred thing now. You're not going to just give your email address, especially a personal email address, to an organization unless you care about that topic. They want to know, are you making a difference? You know, what kind of a difference? What kind of impact in people's lives have you made? And they want to know that fairly regularly. It's not a problem to send 1, 2, 3 emails a week if you have the right kind of engaged audience that really care about your topic. Don't be afraid to ask. Ask for that donation. Say, hey, we need to raise $5,000 to be able to feed 20,000 people in Haiti next month. Here's our deadline. Please donate to us to help us achieve this goal. They would love to do that. And again, it's not selling them, it's not doing anything wrong. It's just giving them an opportunity to support your cause. So I'm a huge believer in this, and it's worked really well. And I'm just super pumped to be able to have supported nonprofits and feel like I'm not being a burden on them. It's not a service that they can buy into and think that it's going to cost them more money down the road. It actually makes more than they spend. And that's something that I'm really proud of.
It's one thing to talk about the front end where you're spending time, you're spending money, you're spending energy to either go through the arduous process of getting Google Ad Grants, which is well worth your time, submit some documents, wait a few weeks, get the approval, or they said they need a new document, submit the new document, you didn't have this stuff. Acquiring them is one thing. Keeping them is a whole other thing. I think something like 75% of all donors never donate more than once. If you have their email and you have that first touch point, you know that they're interested. You, whatever it is that you do, you have found someone that cares about the thing that you care about, the thing that you're trying to make an impact on. You have to, without a doubt, send them a video. Get in front of the Zoom, get in front of the Facebook Live, hit record on your phone, your laptop, or your tablet, and say thank you. With your donation, I am able to turn this money into this program for these people. When I came across these people, they look like this. Through my program, now they look amazing. Show photos, show testimonials. get someone like Will Trapp at Gradavid to create these donor relation videos for you that you can throw in email and show people the impact they're having. I gave $5 to someone I don't know on a random Facebook ad. Fantastic. How is my $5 impacting the cause that I care about? You take the time, you create the video, or you send the stuff to someone like Will, and he sees, he puts this thing together, and then they click their opening, it says, thank you for your donation. Here's the impact your money is having. Here's the impact you are having. You show them what it is that you're doing with their money, and it's amazing. You get to keep people on as donors year after year, month after month, week after week, because you are doing the good thing that you care about that you can't do with your own money. You need a pool of money. You need many donors, and you need to keep them, because together you're stronger, and together you get to go make a difference and make an impact.
Yeah, precisely. I mean, big donors are awesome. We love big donors. That's fantastic. But at the end of the day, being able to know that you have a group of motivated, mobile, active people who care about you and your organization and what you're doing, I mean, I'd take that over a couple of big donors any day. And being able to have them to say, hey, tomorrow we're doing an event downtown. We need you to show up, or we need you to share this online to make a bigger impact. Guess what? They're going to do it, and they care about that, and you just need to tell them. So you're 100% correct, Travis. I mean, there's so many people out there who want to support nonprofits and want to do good work for them. And, you know, we found Facebook Live videos do really work well. People want to hear directly from the source, telling them how it's making an impact and what they're doing. So, we've loved being able to make this pivot into working with nonprofits. And again, it's just fulfilling to be able to feel like we're making a difference while the nonprofit is making a difference. It's kind of coming alongside and being able to help them do more and spread their voice a little bit greater.
So you kind of touched on it. You mentioned that, hey, you were having this fundraiser this weekend. You should show up. But we're also in a COVID-19 world. So how do you have these fundraisers and the events and showing the people what it is they're doing and having an impact without having people leave their homes? Also, fun fact, this is a benefit for introverts out there. They were going to show up anyway. You can now catch them online. So how do we do that, Preston?
Yeah, great question. It's funny because I'm in these nonprofit groups on Facebook, and people are talking about how they're not sure how they're going to be able to make the money, their donations and their goals this year, because their events getting canceled, you know, with across the country, schools closing down and all sorts of things. And, you know, this is just an example for now. We don't know what could be happening in a month or 2 months or 3 months from now. That's why the nonprofits that we work with, we actually helped make sure that they are doing this online as well. So you can do this very easily. It doesn't have to be done by someone like me to do it for you. You can go and you can create a Facebook event page. Very simple to do. Go to Facebook, log in. You'll be able to go to the create section and create that Facebook event page. Once you've created that Facebook event page, you can use the same details you would have used on your email invite or your personal invite to be able to invite them to that Facebook page. Put the same information in. Use Canva or something to design a very clear and direct hero image or header for that Facebook event. Very simple. Use the information that makes the most sense. You can invite them via an email address. So all of the people that you would have invited to your personal event, you can now, if you're having to cancel for some reason, you can now invite them with an email and link them to that Facebook page, that event page, where they can register. Not only can they register, so you can confirm that they're going to go, you can also get them to then share that with other folks. They're going to be able to now amplify your voice and your message even further. And so from there, when you do your live event, don't cancel your speaker, but just understand that if you do have to cancel your in-person event, you're saving tens of thousands of dollars, likely maybe more, on the fact that you're creating these events. I know nonprofits who spend $50,000 to $100,000 on their events, knowing that they're going to be making $1 million or $2 million back because of that event, and it's worthwhile to them. If you were to take just a fraction of that money and put it into creating this Facebook event, keeping your speaker and having them do it remotely using Facebook Live, sharing that link to your Facebook page and then sharing that to the event page, you're going to have a greater impact right off the bat. And if you then tie that into Facebook ads, now you're reaching people who had never heard from you before and who can now then click through and watch that very easily.
Can you imagine the level of speaker upgrade you could get if all of a sudden you didn't have to pay for a venue and food? I was going to pay this speaker $5,000, $7,000, $15,000. I can now afford a $30,000 speaker. I don't know what his rates are, but I can get Tom Hanks to come speak about the importance of my cause because all of a sudden I can afford him. Can you imagine the kind of impact that would have on your organization and what you're doing for a future?
But people are right off the bat, they're just canceling their event and they're just kind of throwing in the towel. And I'm trying to encourage folks to understand that you don't have to do that. Pivot. Learn to pivot quickly and learn to do this effectively in your ads. Sorry, should we restart that part?
Oh, no, that's definitely staying in. For those of you who don't know, as soon as he said pivot, I pictured Ross and Chandler trying to get the sofa down through the apartment. Pivot, pivot, just scream. I lost it. Old Preston's cracking up over there because he saw my face as soon as he said it.
It was a funny moment.
It was good. I love that moment.
But if you can, you can just use a donate page. Use a URL that has information about your topic and what your goals are for that year, what you would have normally been fundraising for. And then every few minutes on that call before the speaker gets on, while you're live with folks, go ahead and mention that link and say, hey, click below, go take a look at what we're doing, sign up to get more information just to be updated on what we're doing. That way you're getting email addresses, which is, again, hugely valuable. And then they'll also give you a few dollars, right? So if you're reaching tens of thousands of people, potentially more than that 300 or 400 people that we're going to be at the event, you're making a bigger impact. You have a greater audience and you're getting more donations. People are going, hey, sponsors are going to cancel. No, they're not going to cancel because they're going to get more views. They're going to get more people they're going to see and be interested in them because of what they're doing. So to me, it's been a win-win.
For those of you who don't know that are feeling kind of leery about this right now, Facebook fundraisers, since their inception in 2015, have raised more than $2 billion. So, and $1 billion of those were birthday fundraisers. It's my birthday, donate to this cause, which you should have your friends on their birthday donate to your cause, just saying. But $2 billion in the last 5 years, Facebook has generated for nonprofits, people actually making a difference. So don't be scared or leery of using Facebook as a way to generate the funds that you need to help your stuff going. Can you imagine if you had a director or a semi a part-time volunteer that was able to do some of this stuff and just start ad campaigns or fundraiser campaigns for you on Facebook? Get a piece of that $2 billion pie. Why not?
Exactly. I mean, there's really no reason not to be able to take advantage of the tools that are available to us right now. Even if you feel like you need to use a different platform for some reason, there is Zoom. There are a lot of other conferencing tools that you can use to get it out there. I've heard one complaint that said, well, I only want to invite our big donors to this event. Okay, fine. You can use a private link. You can use a private meeting link, but still use the same model. Use the digital means. Use a landing page or some sort to be able to get those donations and those the support right off the bat. Just don't forget, since it is digital, you do need to remind them of the link and you do need to ask them to take that action from time to time, because people will be distracted. They'll be on Netflix, they'll be on Amazon, they'll be doing something else. So know that right off the bat, but just remind them and you'll have a lot of success there as well. So we've done this for nonprofits. It's a good thing to do.
Now, I imagine that we're in the digital world, and if you have some world-class speaker like Tom Hanks, and you're doing a video conference, that you can record this thing and use it later. Might have to do some creative editing based on if they use numbers or they mention the dates or something like that, or if you quote figures from whatever year that was. But if you have something like a flyer that you create on Canva that has your stats and your numbers and your figures, you can then just update the flyer for the next year, or people that weren't able to attend for whatever reason, you could probably send them a link to that, including your donate page, to their email. Hey, I know you signed up. I know you were excited to be here. You weren't able to make it. I got you covered. Here's a link to the event. I still want you to catch the great, even if you don't give any money, I want you to see the amazing speaker, just so you know the kind of impact that your dollars are having and what successes we've had in the past year. Nothing stopping you from doing that.
Absolutely. Great content to be able to use on your website or in social posts later on. Fantastic idea as well.
So Preston, this is just a jam-packed, I don't know, about an hour worth of content. If people don't know what they just heard, they have to go back and listen again, take notes. We're going to have that free digital download, that PDF that's going to walk you through all this amazing stuff that Preston talked about today. Facebook ads, Google ad grant, 501c3 Google for nonprofits, and the tools that they have listed there. All this amazing stuff. Preston, how can people get a hold of you? What is the absolute best way you're going to respond to them?
So the best way is just send me an email. Honestly, I'd be happy to answer any emails that I receive. info@conecreatives.com is the email address that I'm using at this point. Donor Curve also has an email submission form. You're happy to look at our website, donorcurve.com, and see a little bit more about what we're doing there. But we'd love to be able to answer questions. I am a huge proponent of being able to provide value. If I can help you and you can do it on your own, I would rather do that because I want you to be able to do it on your own and be successful. So it probably is confusing. There's probably some things in this video that you're going to go, oh man, what did he even say? What, Facebook ads? What? How do you create an ads manager? These are things that, like you said, Travis, we're going to have in that document because it is confusing. It does feel like Latin or Greek or some other language that you're not familiar with. And because I've done this for a number of years, I have an understanding there. But if you just take it back, don't get confused. Don't try to dive in too deep. Do one thing at a time. Create a petition. You know, work on thinking about starting with the Google Ad Grant. Follow those steps one at a time. You will have success. Just take it in bite-sized chunks. Happy to be able to answer any questions. Send me an email and we can go from there.
Preston, just amazing content. Thank you so much for being on today. I'm glad that I can be your first podcast. This is crazy. I can't believe you've been on more before. It just blows my mind. You're a natural. I love it. Thank you so much for being on today. And we're glad to have you.
Thank you, Travis. I appreciate your time today. It's been fun.
You've been listening to The Nonprofit Architect. To listen to all our past shows, visit http://nonprofitarchitect.org. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show. Thank you.